us. Sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
What a shot, Stan. You and that laser-guided torpedo just drilled another hole in the Her Majesty's HMS Beagle.
And
there.
Down she goes, blub, blub, blub.
Blub, blub, blub.
Well, I am Stan Hudson.
I am John Kerlinski, welcoming you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle. A lighthearted look at the very heavy issues, in this case, the one that sank with the doggy. The heavy issues of creationism, evolutionism, and where we came from. And you know, today we're definitely talking about where we came from in the eyes of some.
At least the one branch of evolutionary science, that being paleoanthropology.
Ah, the study of early man.
Early man.
Yes.
And so what we have today...
Which would not be me, because I'm always late.
You're always late. Early man. I know several people who never make it to be paleoanthropologists.
Yes. Yeah.
Never early man. Late for everything.
Late. The late great. But, okay.
Today we're going to deal with an article that came out recently in another National Geographic, the Evolutionary Bible or Christianity Today or Journal for Evangelism.
Yes, August 2002, the first pioneer ? A new study, a new find shakes the human family tree.
Ooh, it shakes the tree. Actually, you know what it looks like?
No.
It looks like Davy Pearlberg. I swear that looks like Davy Pearlberg.
Davy, wherever you are, that's not a compliment.
The eyes. The eyes and the comb back hair. It makes it look like this guy combed his hair. How old is this guy? You know, what do they say he is? 1.75 million years
million,
old?
Million, give or take a couple of months.
Well, what's really happening here and why it's one of these things here is we call it shaking the world. At least it's, we don't think about shaking the world. We call it muddying the waters.
It muddies the water because this is a story of a skull that was recently found in the Republic of Georgia. Georgia.
Not the Georgia peach.
This is south of Russia in a little medieval town called, I think it's pronounced, Demanisi.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there they found underneath some more medieval town ruins, they found evidence supposedly of 1.75 million-year-old habitation and a skull. And the skull apparently is of a human-type creature.
A human, a hominid.
A hominid.
And
likes hominy.
Yep, and they say he had the brain the size of a pea. Well, not much, but he was kind of pea-brained.
Well, this is the great line of the whole article, if I can steal it. When one scientist saw it, he muttered, "They ought to put it back in the ground."
It doesn't fit, folks. That kind of says it all right there. It just doesn't quite fit the theory. Actually, this article demonstrates something that's happening, and we've recorded it on a long time ago in a previous Sink the Beagle, ages ago when we started the program, Stan, is that in the late Stephen Jay Gould wrote an article in about 1980,
uh-huh.
And in that article, he lists what they thought at that time was the hominid ancestry. In other words,
yes,
the primitive monkey-type creatures, and they had this one and that one, and
yeah,
Australopithecine followed.
Yeah, Zinjanthropus,
Lucy, and all these, and where they all fit into these things.
Homo habilis.
And then finally, ending up at the end of that, it doesn't go to man in the 1980 article, but
yeah,
later on he revised it. There were seven in the lineup Seven different species,
okay,
that they thought showed the chain that they were,
right,
still looking for links between these seven,
yeah,
because there were no direct connections.
Okay.
Well, then in 1987, he republished the article and he reduced it from seven to four.
To four.
And the irony
three
is.
Three got axed.
No, four got axed
four,
because the fourth one he added modern Homo sapiens to the list.
So only three oldies now, down from seven.
He went from seven to three. In other words, what happened
not
is
so
they said, well,
oldies,
maybe this one wasn't really a modern human. Maybe it was a modern ape or a modern chimp or a modern,
yeah,
orang or something else.
Yeah.
And so what you really have going on here, mm-hmm, is they're saying that, well, wait a minute, this neat chain that you always show in the little children's books on evolution.
Let's be honest. It's monkey not to really ape,
it's not supported. Really a chain. The evidence, the fossil evidence, does not support the hominid sequence to man from early creatures.
And with since that time, since the Gould's articles on this subject, they keep finding more skulls, and this is another one. And on top of this, they found a more recent one in North Africa that supposedly dates to 6 or 7 million years. And again, it's supposedly supposed to be like a bombshell to the scientific community, but it really is just muddying the waters. And why would that be? Why is it muddying the waters?
Because they really don't have successive lines. And therefore, what's really happening in their things is they're getting individual new columns that start and end in the fossil record
with wrong time periods. Developments in the heads and the arms and the
back. This should have came first. And, man, how can we explain this?
How can you have something with, if something is evolving from a monkey to a man, how can a fossil have a bigger brain, let's say, at one stage?
And a smaller brain
and
later.
And then a smaller later. Or walk more upright at an earlier period than later, and so on. So these things aren't working too well.
And where this one kind of fits in is it comes late on the scene, but has a real small brain, and it's small in stature.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So in other words,
they were expecting by this time that man was further along the line.
Yeah, he wasn't a 3-footer. Man was more like maybe a 5-footer or 5.5-footer, and he had a bigger stride, and he had a big enough leg walk and an inseam to kind of walk out of Africa.
Well, why are they having so much trouble with this, John? Is it not because they're still holding to Darwin's original thesis, which said that there should be, the evidence should show,
incremental change
over periods of time, and that there ought to be some consistency?
There should be, but it doesn't show that. That's the trouble.
Okay. So now, listeners, I'd like to challenge you just for a moment to think back to some of your science textbooks. Wherever you've seen evolution kind of illustrated in a chart-like picture, you always have seen a tree. Evolution's tree of life, so to speak. And if you go down to the very trunk of it, you saw these simple single cell kind of animals.
Which all life comes out of.
And moving on up the trunk, suddenly you got species, like lizards going one way and fish another and eventually mammals and everything up to man at the
top. Branching up at the tree.
Yeah, but coming from single trunks and bigger branches. Now evolution, and you should look at this National Geographic article, for instance, as it's comparing this skull with other skulls, it's trying to say that different lines were living simultaneously. Some started, some stopped, and had no ancestors or to speak of that have been discovered, or followers or descendants particularly. They're just sort of there.
And they don't know where to put them.
They don't know where
to
put them.
What you really have is like instead of a tree model, you have blades of grass or
blades
sticks
of grass, or, parallel.
Or fields of dreams.
Fields of dreams. build it and they will come.
Build evolutionary theory and they will believe.
And the fossils will be found.
The fossils will be found.
And they haven't been found. And that's why scientists say these statements like this one that muttered, put it back in the ground because it doesn't stick to a tree type of thing.
It fits a whole, it starts rocking the theory. And they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And in amongst themselves, what they argue these things.
Yeah.
The sad reality is they rarely tell you publicly what this implies.
Right.
They tell you what they want it to say and still try to fit it in a mold. But really, it's time to start saying, hey, doesn't it really just challenge the whole theory from the very beginning? Shouldn't we be looking at fossils a whole lot differently? And we're making them say a whole lot more than they are. First of all, you could doubt the age of it all, but beyond that.
Well, I mean, John, we do get a hint at it because if National Geographic, and as we have joked about it before here on Sink the Beagle, is something of an evangelistic tool for evolution, atheistic or materialistic
especially
evolution.
Paleoanthropology. It's one of their big ones.
Yes, absolutely. And they sell lots of magazines this way and trying to promote new discoveries of pre-human fossils and so forth.
Yeah.
But when they quote things like, there's no reason to downgrade these early Georgians on the IQ scale. They took a long hike and they made it. In other words, what they're really saying is, and they're joking about it themselves, that that doesn't make sense for this little creature.
Pea-brained idiot.
Yeah, to be up in southern Russia if all life started in Africa, human life, and kind of migrated up there. The time isn't right. The size isn't right. Everything is not right.
But he made it, so we'll call him a genius.
So he's got to be a genius or something, even though he had a pea brain.
I thought it was Davy Proberg. It's actually Einstein's relatives.
Oh, my goodness.
He made it.
And we'd like to apologize to all of Einstein listeners and family.
And family members, yeah.
But again, when the scientists said they ought to put it back in the ground, when National Geographic quotes that in a funny, humorous sort of way like that, lighthearted way, what they're really saying is for every one of those little jokes, 100 scientists behind the scene are really scratching their noggins trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
It does not fit. Well, this is the missionary journal.
Yeah, and then they have questions. Could it be that the first human intercontinental traveler wasn't a classic Homo erectus? In other words, they're saying that we don't know what in the world's going on now.
Yeah.
We're just befuddled and befounded, and we claim to know a lot, and we don't know. We got a skull in our hands, and we're building this huge story for publication to sell magazines.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, if we had put it back in the dirt, you'd have been no less for the wear, because the information we're giving you really isn't information at all.
Well, this reminds me.
An interpretation that is as fanciful as anything else you'll find out there.
Reminds me of the Big Bang theorists who, whenever a new picture of a new bit of data comes over the screen, it's like, now we're going to have to remodify, or this doesn't fit, or, well, guess we got to go back to the drawing board. And yet they still preach Big Bang as the reason or the method by which we got here. In the same way, when the fossil evidence is found, when new fossils and new species are found, they're not man enough to say challenging the manhood of these people.
We're not talking about their pea brains.
No, I mean, when they're not man enough to say, you know, every time we find something, I mean, nothing's fitting. Yeah. All the new evidence, all the new studies, all the new fossils just confound the picture, so much so that Stephen Jay Gould had to come up with punctuated equilibrium, or in other words, hiccups in evolution over time, because the fossil record doesn't support microevolution.
And especially, the weakest area of it all is paleoanthropology.
Yes.
When you really want to know where man came from and how man got here and how man got to Georgia, he didn't take a hike out of Africa. I mean, you know, man is not a creature with a pea brain. The Bible says something different about who we are, and we have a torpedo text for people to, you know, what we think really brings dignity to who you are as a person.
Well, this is from the psalmist, probably David, writing as he, who knows, he might have been on one of those.
Holding the skull in his hand saying.
No, not at all. I think he was looking one starry night up into the heavens to see the largeness of the creation and the largeness of the Creator. And then he said this, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor.
The real journey wasn't a small man out of Africa. It was a journey of a big God down to the earth.
Absolutely.
That's the more amazing journey.
Yes, and that has great significance, because the value of man that would cause God to leave heaven and come here to salvage man, to salvage you and me, you know, we are far more than a pea-brained, monkey-sized animal that came out of Africa millions of years ago on some hike searching for something.
It's not our IQ that is the question here, mm-hmm. or our size. It's the kind of God that he is. And that's the kind of God we like to promote here and share with you on Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. If you have comments, questions, or requests for Dr. John or Dr. Stan, you can email them at hudaho@mindspring.com. That's Hudaho, H-U-D-A-H-O, @mindspring.com. Be sure to listen in next time to Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile. From seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.